Welcome to TJ Flydways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live here from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We should do this every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. You can also catch the podcast on demand shortly after the live show. Later in the program, Rico Aber is going to join us. We're going to talk about his win at Eldora, that incredible footage of him pulling Tim Kading out of the car, and we're going to see if we can pin him down to what he wants to do in the future. So Rico Aber coming up to the program, and Chris Andrews to talk about his podium finish with the World of Outlaws representing the local Ohio contingent at Fremont Speedway this past weekend. But we're going to start the show by breaking down the Fremont race, and I'm calling in who I jokingly call my Ohio driver expert, because he's been kind of in all facets and seen it from multiple angles, the sport in the Ohio region, and the fact that he's in kind of the same age group as I am, so we kind of have the same perspective on things historically. So Mike Linder joining us to help break down the race at Fremont Speedway. Well, Mike, thanks for your new role here with the website, occasionally calling upon you for driver analysis, so this should be kind of fun.
Yes, it will. Thanks for calling. This will be an interesting little segment.
Yeah, I think it will be. So let's talk about Fremont. First of all, Donnie Schatz. And what more can we say about Schatz? You know, all the things he's done. Were we really surprised that he won that race out of the B main on Saturday night?
Not really. I mean, to say that I'm surprised is it would be a lie. Frankie Kerr and I were betting, on who would win, and I took the 2 or the 15, and, turned out I got first and second, but, the guy just, he understands what his car needs to be like at the end of the race, and he's just a master at getting that, and I think he's, his ability to do that is what sets him apart. I mean, he's a great race car driver, but his ability to understand what he wants at the end of the race, and how to make that happen, and him and Ricky Warner work together to get that to happen, there's where he's, just completely dominant over everybody.
And the other thing that amazes me is you talk to every driver, most everyone, and the first thing they'll remark is how clean the guy races too. I mean, he's not running over people doing this either.
And really most of those guys are that way. I mean, there's a handful of them that will run over you, but, I mean, if you race Donnie Schatz clean and he's racing you for position, he's going to give you, let me rephrase that. He may not give you a bunch of room, but he is not going to run into you, and if he does, it's an accident. And I mean, anytime you run into somebody, you risk taking yourself out as well. And so you try to keep it to a minimum, but, if somebody's, not racing you clean and you feel you need to, establish that you're not accepting that, then he will do so, but you don't see it very often.
From a driver's perspective, what do you see that he does? Like, in the middle of a race, when can you see he's hitting his stride? Like, when that car comes in at the end of the race, is there something that you see from being a driver that you can kind of see, okay, he's hitting it now, he's going to be heading to the front?
Well, I don't get to see him race a ton. But, for instance, this past Saturday, you could watch his car roll the center of the corner, better than anybody's. Byron Reed's car was actually pretty good at the beginning of that race, and I thought he might be a threat. But, Donnie's car is just, we call it rolling the apex, and he was rolling the center, and was able to get to the throttle sooner than just about anybody. And it was before halfway that we noticed that, but I still didn't think he would make it, completely there. I thought he'd run out of time, but, about halfway through the race, you could see he was cutting the center and you knew he was going to get close if he didn't make it. And, it's just that to me as a driver, and somewhat of a mechanic, that's awe inspiring to me is how well he gets that done. Guys have won a lot of races being men and being brave and so forth. And I'm not saying Donnie's not, because he is, but he wins most of his races because of his intelligence. And that's pretty cool.
Now, you and I are just both slightly older than the World of Outlaws themselves. And obviously most of Donnie Schatz's story is still to be written, but at this point, where do we put him? I mean, we have the big three. right now, and, you know, with Swindell, Kinzer, and Wolfgang. Where does Donnie Schatz fit into this right now? I mean, he's got to be in the same breath at this point as those three, are getting darn close to it, I would say.
You know, that's a difficult thing, because we're looking at almost two different eras, you know, and two different situations. I kind of liken it to Jimmy Johnson against Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt. Jimmy Johnson wins races the same way that Donnie Schatz does, with methodic intelligence, work ethic, and where, you know, Dale Earnhardt, he won races because he was brave, he outmanned everybody, he outdrove everybody, and Steve Kinzer and Doug Wolfgang, those guys won their races the same way, you know, that Steve didn't need a good handling race car to win a race, he would just out manhandle you. And those guys of era gone by are different. You know, Donnie Schatz, his name should be and will be with them, but it's almost apples to oranges. Donnie's done it in a completely different manner. You know, he's not known for being that I'll finish the race on fire type of guy where Steve Kinzer is. And so though he deserves and will be in that same sentence with those guys, it's two different styles of racing. And so how he falls in there, that's going to be up to people that are a lot more intelligent than I am.
Yeah, and the other thing with that, too, is do you think it hurts Schatz a little bit that he doesn't have, like, a defined number two? I mean, he kind of gets everyone's best shot because the fields are so deep now, even across the country. They go anywhere, and there's local cars that can run with those guys. But it seems like there isn't that definitive number two. There isn't, like, the Schatz versus this guy. There's just a multitude of different guys that are up there every night.
You know, that is a good point. He really doesn't have a quote-unquote rival, you know, you got Larry and Gary and Steve and Sammy and situations like that, that it does not exist today. That is a very good point that I've never thought about. He's got a lot of good guys that race against him and beat him, you know, but there's, like you said, there's not that one guy. I do think our sport lacks that. To some degree, it's a little too sterile, and, you know, everybody is corporate oriented, you know, and Donnie Schatz can't punch Joey Saldana every night, like you used to be able to do, and vice versa, you know. So it does take away for people your and I's age a little bit that you don't have that, don't have that rivalry, but the check's still clear, so it doesn't matter. But for the race fan, I think we're going to be missing something when he gets to the point of where he in his career, where Steve Kinzer is now, that he doesn't have his Sammy Swindell, you know, that there's that one individual. And I think he'll miss that, too.
And, you know, we've glowed over Schatz enough for now. Who else do you find that was really impressive Saturday? It might have surprised you a little bit at Fremont.
Well, obviously, Chris Andrews. You know, Chris and I are really close. And matter of fact, we just got done eating dinner together, and I didn't know he was going to be on later until then. Chris, he didn't shock me. I guess I was just proud of it, you know. And last year we had Brian Sabido and Caleb Griffith ran up front. You know, this year our local pride and joy was Chris. You know, the other guys, nobody really shocked me, you know, that I know of. That, you know, I'd have to kind of look through the field again. You know, there's a few guys that I'm proud of. DJ Foose, I'm real proud of, you know, pretty close with DJ and. And so, you know, them guys, I'm happy for him to be in the show. But Chris, you know, he shined. And I mean, he had a legitimate, he should have probably run second if everything would have went perfectly. But he did run third, and that's something that I've never done and would love to do. So it's something to be really proud of.
And that's a testament, I think, to your area a little bit, that you weren't surprised by that. I mean, you know, the fact that, yeah, our guys ran podium at an outlaw show. I mean, there's some places that would be throwing a parade, practically, if they could get an outlaw guy in the top five. And you guys are like, yeah, we kind of expect that now. That's like what the standard is set now.
And it is. And Pennsylvania's done with this for years. And we're just starting to now, where at Attica, what I consider local cars swept the podium there early in the year with the Outlaws. And, you know, and so we've kind of come to the realization that these Outlaws are beatable. Now, Donnie Schatz is, you know, he is beatable, but it takes a rare occasion. But we race around here with these guys that can beat them. And so it makes your local racing pretty tough. And when them guys come in, their trailers are just a little bigger. You know, it's kind of all everybody looks at them as. And, you know, obviously, as on average, they're better, but they're not much better, you know. So the local guys, you know they can beat them and they can be beat. And it's just kind of fun when they roll in and see who's going to step up, you know, and be the local guys to knock them off the podium.
For years, we saw the Outlaw Show be kind of an infrequent event at Fremont. It was on again, and we could go decades without one, and then we've had one kind of occasionally. Do you think that event has gained enough traction at Fremont that we think it's going to be an annual event now?
I think so. You know, the racetracks, their hands were tied years ago on being able to even get an Outlaw Show. You know, they had to split the money with other tracks, and it was a political nightmare, and that has since cleared up. To where the tracks can do it. Now it's just a matter of can they afford it. You know, an Outlaw Show is very expensive to put on, and it's a lot of risk, you know. So the tracks that have enough seats to be able to offset the cost, they can do it. And Fremont is right on that edge. You know, they need to fill the place to be able to make money with it. And so, you know, it is risky, but I think it adds a lot of legitimacy to the schedule when you have an Outlaw Show on it. And so the tracks are willing to do it and willing to take that risk. And I don't see any reason why it couldn't continue to be an annual event. You know, it is only, you know, obviously once a year, but any more than that, I don't think our tracks could support that fan-wise, because it is an expensive show for the fans as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty elite group that can have more than one.
It probably needs to stay once a year.
Yeah, there's only a handful of tracks that can ever support more than one. It's a pretty... did it feel different than any other Saturday night there? I mean, that place has great energy every Saturday anyway. Compared to maybe a Speed Week or show, did it have the Speed Week energy, or was it just a little different?
It's a little different than a Speed Week energy. You know, Speed Week is, I don't know how to say that, but it's different. Speed Week almost to me as a driver aspect seems a little more intense, mainly because you expect that you should do well, during a Speed Week show, and failure is not really an option, where with the Outlaw Show, you kind of got a scapegoat. I hate to say it like that, but you know, if you don't do well at an Outlaw Show, well, it was an Outlaw Show, you know, and them guys are good. But when it's a Speed Week show, not saying that the All-Stars, you know, their group with the, you know, the old heavy hitting Speed Week, you're still expected to do well. And so when you didn't, you know, you were really disappointed. And so now, the Outlaw Show, you know, it's, you want to do well, but you don't expect it. So it's a little different type of atmosphere, I think.
One thing we saw this week, we saw Brian Clausen in the Beef Hackers car. He got a top 10 in that car on Saturday night. He's been doing more winged racing this year, and we've seen wing guys go to the non-wing stuff and obviously do well. We haven't seen a ton of non-wing guys that grew up in the non-wing racing come to the wing side and do really well. How surprised are you at what he's doing, or does that not really surprise you that much?
Well, Kyle Larson kind of raised the bar on that, and Christopher Bell's obviously doing it. Rico's doing it. These kids, they don't understand that guys our age think that you're either one or the other. They don't understand that. They feel like they're just race car drivers. And so, you know, some nights they race with a wing on the car and some nights they don't. And so, and Brian Clausen fits that bill too. Kevin Thomas Jr. was there. He struggled a little bit. And I don't think he has very much wing experience. You would know more than I.
I think he's still in the single digits. So, yeah, he's still.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit, but he was up to speed, you know. So, I just think it's today's day that these kids want to run anything. They don't care what it is, and they want to run it all. And I think it makes them better race car drivers for it. You know, it used to be the non-wing guys struggled with the wing. And they don't appear to be very much anymore, you know. So I just think they're better race car drivers. They start younger. They're running more diverse, different types of race cars, so they adapt quicker. And so to see Brian run well, that didn't shock me a bit. He's obviously a great race car driver, braver than most of the wing guys. And, you know, you don't ever have to test his bravery. So, it really doesn't surprise me. Just on account of you see all these younger guys that are just extremely talented.
And to me, I think it could make the sport of sprint car racing even better if we have all these young kids jumping between all these different divisions and everything. I mean, to me, I think breaking down that barrier again and having more crossover reminds me a little bit more of what it was like when I was younger. And there's more crossover in the fan base, too. So I think overall, I think it'd be a good thing for sprint car racing if we see more of these kids doing this. And all indications are we're going to see more of it next year.
Oh, I agree. It's definitely made the Four Crown a better race. You know, and I enjoy it. I mean, Rich Vogler and those guys, they did it. And from that point on, from in that era, it kind of stopped. And you were one or the other, you know. And obviously, non-wing racing, which I consider traditional sprint car racing, but it's made a huge resurgence, in which has brought a lot more guys back in to the sport, and these guys want to be more a little more diverse. Yeah, I think it's great for the sport that you get, you know, young kids out of Indiana and whatnot that are running wing shows, and now they've got a bigger fan base. I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Mike, I really appreciate you coming in to help us break down Fremont, and hopefully we'll have you on once every couple months or so when things are hot in Ohio there, and we'll break things down like this for everybody, and have a good time doing it, of course.
We will. Thank you. It's a lot of fun, and it don't have to be every couple of months. It can be sooner than that.
All right. Well, I'll hold you to that, too. Mike Linder, driver analyst from Ohio. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to interview Rico Abreu. We're going to talk about his first wing sprint car win at Eldora, the amazing footage you might have seen of him pulling Tim Kading out of the car at the Trophy Cup, and what he might be doing in the future. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must See Racing brings you the fastest short track
event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Back from break. Hoping to get Rico Abreu on the line. We're having some technical difficulty getting a hold of him at the moment, but we're going to try to get him on next segment. Also, Chris Andrews coming on later in the program. And things winding down this season when we have the Short Track Nationals coming up. And, of course, the ride-changing news already starting to heat up. Today, it was announced Chad Kemnaugh taking over the Rob Hunter 10H. And Chad reunited the Kemnaugh clan reunited with Brian Kemnaugh turning the wrenches on that car as well. That's going to be an interesting combination. That team has run well with Danny Holtgraver this year. That could be a resurgence for Chad Kemnaugh a bit, who has struggled a bit with his own team financially, keeping that thing going. He's been in some other cars. He was in Scott Euler's car the past few weeks to end the season. This is a very good thing for him. I think it's going to work out well, and glad to see that news come in today. Of course, if you have plans, don't forget, email our driver roster for 2015. Make sure to check that out and to go ahead and get on there. There's a form right on the page where if you're a driver, a race team owner, or whatnot, you can send your information. If you're looking for a ride, go ahead and send it in. We'll be happy to put it on there and add you to the 2015 driver roster. And we're already starting to pencil in some 2015 race dates. It's going to be interesting to see how the 2015 calendar sorts itself out. I said that Eldora kind of fired a shot across the bow when they set the Kings Royal back a week to not conflict the country concert. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the schedules pan out with that being pushed back a week. And you look at some of the other changes we've already seen, the ASDS National Tour going back to East Bay. There's some neat races already on the calendar if you look. And I think there's going to be some interesting new things to look at this year. And it always makes it hard. We try to venture out, but it's so difficult because we have this, my joke, the five-hour window where there's so much good open wheel racing within a 5 hour range. It's really hard to get out of that because literally everything comes through here just about, unless you're on the far west coast or the southwest or northwest, the extreme coast on either side. But even then, we even get the east coast guys at Oshwegan. We really get a little bit of everything over here, and you can do it within a very short driving distance. You don't even have to get on a plane and see some of the most sought after racetracks in the world. And it's kind of, sometimes we get stuck in that vacuum a little bit. We're trying to get out a little bit next year, at least one time west and one time east possibly, but we're still working out all the details on that. But it's, like I said, when we don't venture out maybe to some of the places, we get questions every now and then, why don't you go to Pennsylvania? Why don't you go to California? It's like, for one, I still hold down a real job during the week doing this. And secondly, there's only so much vacation time to use for that. And secondly, it's just, it's difficult. It's like, you look at, oh, I'm going to miss this. And it's only this close to home where I can fly clear across the country. And we're going to try to start knocking off some of those bucket list races, though, in the next couple of years. But what a season. It's been a very interesting year. We've already started putting together our year in review. We're just finishing up January now. And it's interesting to look at. This is going to be a very unusual year to put together. It is a roller coaster of just extreme highs and extreme lows. It'll be interesting to put that together in this podcast, too. We might try to do something towards the end of the year. But we're going to try to do shows every Monday through the end of the year. My goal at the beginning of the year was to do 52 of these shows this year, whether they be a couple of post-race podcasts and whatnot, counting towards that, because occasionally I do have to travel for work on Mondays, and there's one or two Mondays where we can't do a show, but I was kind of hoping to do 52 of them by the end of the year. We're going to be pretty close, I think, if we add in the post-race podcast before the end of the year. I think 52 podcasts are probably going to be pretty darn close. We're planning on doing more next year with the post-race stuff. Mother Nature worked against us a lot in the post-race podcast this year. We worked on it and went to a lot of places where it just got rained out or whatnot. So it's something we're just going to work on in the coming years, and some of the new features and stuff. We're already in the shop, as I joke, looking for an advantage, as I joke, for 2015. Much like race car drivers are in the shops themselves, we're in the shop as well and trying to get things done. So we're going to take another commercial break. We're going to try to get Rico back on the line. We had some technical trouble here. We're going to see if we can get that. Worst case scenario, we'll just come on next week. That's how we just roll really easy around here. So we'll take a break and come back. This is TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Earlier we were talking about a lot of the young drivers in the sport, and this young man has definitely opened some eyes the past couple of weeks, and actually over the past couple of seasons, getting a podium finish in the Burmeister number 16 this past Saturday night with the World of Outlaws at the Fremont Speedway. Chris Andrews joining us on the line. Chris, we're just talking on the air. It's been a great couple of weeks for you as a driver.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Got a few opportunities to drive a car down in Eldora, Craig Mintz's car, and tough competition, and we got our act together down there and ran pretty good at Fremont this past weekend. And, yeah, it's been a couple good weekends.
Yeah, I mean, that Fremont deal, you know, a great for the Burmeisters, great for everyone there. What was it, you know, were you surprised at the reaction afterwards? I mean, it seems like people were really rallying around you. But were you surprised at the attention that you got for a podium finish rather than a victory?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I can only say I've had, you know, my first All-Star win last year, and even to finish, just to finish third with the Outlaws, the aura around that felt even greater. You know, that's beating the best of the best, and just that in itself. I'm still on cloud nine. I'm, you know, listening to the race recap, and just hearing Johnny Gibson just say my name is just incredible. Knowing that we're running up there with those guys that are just so good. Definitely a good way to end the season.
So let's talk our way through Saturday night. Let's start with the dash, first of all. And if you're going to get the pole for a World of Outlaw race, I suppose passing Steve Kinzer on the last lap is a pretty good way to get the pole. So talk us through how you got the lead in the dash.
Well, you know, Fremont got slick, and it was lucky for us just to draw a good pill. We went out in the beginning of qualifying and laid down a decent lap, and that put us in a pretty good position for the whole night. We made it to the dash, and our car wasn't that good, and Shane Stewart got by us, obviously. Steve got by us as well, and just started yanking the wing back a little bit and inched our way back to the front, got around him, and thought, well, we got our car pretty decent. Yeah, that felt pretty good. I mean, just coming back for the cool-down lap, I could see practically the whole grandstands coming unglued. You know, that's probably one of the highlights of my career right there.
So now, all right, so you've just done this in the dash, so how do you keep yourself composed so you don't get too high or too excited going into the A-Main?
Yeah, exactly. The whole night went way too fast-paced, like, this is going way too good. You know, even in the feature, I thought we ran okay. We probably should have been a second-place car, but that's something you have to train yourself for, is when things are going so good like that, you just have to pretend it's a regular local race or whatever it is. I really didn't think about it until the checker dropped and we just finished third in an Outlaw show. Yeah, it's pretty difficult, but, you know, I wish we would have done a little bit better, but I'll take what we got. You have to be thankful for that.
Kirstie Andrews joining us here on TJ Slideways Live. Do you think that's one of those situations where it's something you learn by losing one like that, or is that just something you picked up over time?
What do you mean? Containing myself?
Yeah, exactly. Do you think at some point you maybe got too excited and that was a lesson you learned, or is that just something you gained over a long period of time?
Yeah, it's probably just with a little bit with age and experience. Yeah, getting yourself into positions where you maybe got a little too excited and then you learn from that. If anything, I've probably just grown up a little bit and learned to just control myself, but absolutely, it's pretty tough to do in these types of cars. I mean, driving a stock car is one thing when it takes, you know, 5 minutes to go down a straightaway of these. Before you know it, you're in the next corner. Yeah, it's pretty difficult, but it comes with time.
In the Burmeister family, they've had race cars forever and a day at Fremont Speedway. How great was it to give them an all-star win? You finished second in the points at both local speedways. And now to cap it up with the Outlaw podium, what does that mean to do that for not only for you, but for them?
Well, you know, they had a pretty good year about 3 years ago with Brian Sabito, and you know, practically, he won a couple championships, which we barely missed this year. But it feels good to get them back to kind of where they were. Me, myself, I'm not satisfied. I wish we would have done a little bit better. But I guess, like they always say, there's always next year, but we're getting better every year, and I just hope for maybe a breakout year next year. I'm hoping for it.
Chris Andrews joining us on the line. Are your plans for 2015 cemented yet? Is everything sealed up and signed, sealed, and delivered, or is that still nothing quite signed on the dotted line yet, so to speak?
Well, we're going to run the Burmeister 16 at Attica and Fremont, which there's, you know, a good amount of shows there. But as far as Speed Week and Kings Royal, the Doty, we really don't have anything. I don't have a ride for that stuff yet, but, you know, hoping to maybe find something else for that deal as well, all those races.
Chris Andrews looking maybe to step out a little bit on off nights from Fremont and Attica, joining us on the line. How did you get interested in sprint car racing? What drew you towards sprint car racing for your career?
Well, you know, I started racing go-karts when I was like 9 years old, and once I got to, I think, 15, I started racing 305s at Attica at Fremont. It was a little bit cheaper back then. It's gotten a little out of control now, but, you know, just the competition and watching. I am friends with Caleb Griffith. He pretty much started in the 305 ranks. That's what we chose to do, and it's been the best thing ever. I have not one regret for racing at Attica and Fremont. It's one of the hotbeds of the country for sprint car racing. And I felt it's made me a pretty good racer.
How has it changed for you going from someone that had their own team to driving for somebody else? What's been the biggest adjustment for you in that situation?
A lot less stress and more peace of mind. The wallet's looking a lot better. I don't know where to begin. You know, it's nice, you know, owning my own stuff. You obviously have to pay the bills every month. And with this deal, I get out of the car, I walk away, I clear my mind, and I get back in the car when it's time to do my job. You know, as far as the financial end, it's pretty nice not to have to worry about that. Pretty much just show up maybe a couple times a week, work on the car. All in all, it's a really good deal. Something like this does not come around very often. I'm just really happy to be in the spot.
Well, Chris, we're really glad to see your success over the past couple of years, and we're looking forward to seeing what 2015 offers, but I'm sure you have some people to thank for this past season as well.
Definitely. You know, like I said, the Burmeisters, they put me in their stuff about 3 years ago, and Sonny and Sharon Burmeister and Mikey Summers works on the car, and Paul Kistler Engines, just giving us really good motors. So have to thank all those people. If it wasn't for them, I would not be here right now.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate you taking time out and joining us again. And hopefully we get to talk a little more often next year, because it means you're having more success as well.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you having me.
All right, Chris Andrews, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Well, I'd like to thank Mike Linder for helping us break down the Fremont World of Outlaws show. Also, Chris Andrews joining us earlier. We're going to reschedule Rico Avery for next week. We're having some technical trouble. We got a new studio line in here. It's halfway working. We're just Ohio. We haven't been able to call anywhere else, though. So we're having trouble getting a hold of people we normally get a hold of. I made a test call to a couple other people and couldn't get through either. So just never fails. Rico tied up last week. We're tied up this week. We'll get him on eventually. But you know what? That's how we roll here. We've got the whole winter to get this done, so not overly worried about it. So, but it's going to be still plenty of racing ahead. Short Track Nationals this week. Big 360 show. We still have the World Finals. Turkey Night. Paris Oval Nationals. Still a host of Australia races. That action's starting to pick up. We posted about 4 or 5 results, I believe. And also, Perth Motorplex opens tomorrow, the rain date. So, kind of neat. We get some Tuesday Australia racing this week. So I'd like to thank everyone for listening. We do this every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We're in plans all right now to do it right through the new year. Why not? You know, we don't need a break. We'll just do it through the whole year. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.